Well, hello, everyone. How are y'all doing? Good? Yes? Yay? Well, my name's Taylor, like Ashton said a moment ago, and I'm the pastor for young adults. And now online ministry's here. My role has changed. That has nothing to do with anything that we're talking about tonight, but I have a different thing to say. I'm so glad you guys are here. If you guys are newer, maybe first time, first of a few times, I'd love to get to know you. And so please come say hi after the service. The connection card, like Ashton said, is your best friend. We really believe that church is meant to be a place where we're known and where we know others. And we know that one of the realities of young adult life in Orange County is that it really can be hard to find a place that feels like home. I think especially for many of us, it's maybe this first season where there's not an obvious place to find community. There's not the same structure that maybe we had in a previous stage of life or an obvious place where there's lots of people in the same stage of life around us. And so we want to help bridge that gap. And we believe that the church is supposed to be the family of God, the place where we're known and we know others in community that's full of truth and grace as we learn to follow Jesus together. And so that's my pitch for filling out the connection card if you haven't yet, because we would love to help you get connected in some way, shape, or form. If nothing else, just to say hi and to know if there's any way that we can be praying for you as a community. Well, we've been in a series that we've been calling Faith, where we've been looking at, surprise, surprise, faith. And what we've been doing over the last few weeks is we've been kind of starting from the ground up, beginning with asking this question of what is faith even to begin with? And so what we saw in the scriptures is that faith is trust. And each of us has faith in some way, shape, or form, whether we would consider ourselves a Christian or not. Each of us has faith in something. Everyone is living for something. There's no such thing as not having faith of some kind. And we said that everyone has faith. Faith is something that we all already have, but it's something that was ultimately meant for God himself. It's something that can only be fulfilled in God himself. That faith muscle in our souls is meant to be used with God. And then we took a look over the last couple weeks where we've been looking at from what faith is to why it's important and how it's not just this bartering chip with God, like I give God something that he wants and then he gives me something that I want. But the life of faith, the life of trusting God, that's actually the thing we need in and of itself, because what we ultimately need is God. And then last week, we continued that line of thinking to say that faith has an object, that we looked at God himself and how God was the one that we are meant to trust and what that means and how it changes our lives. And then this week, we are looking now at faith as action. And so we're going to be revisiting a passage of scripture that if you've been around with us here on Sunday evenings, we briefly looked at the very beginning, but we're going to be looking at Genesis 12 verses 1 through 4. And so if you got your own Bible or device you want to pull that up on, you can go ahead and do that now. We'll read all together, me out loud, you to yourself, lest you freak the person that you're sitting next to totally out. And then we will pray and that we will ask God to speak to us even here tonight at our Sunday evening gathering. So Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, here is what it says. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord has told him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. That's God's word for us tonight, written by a human writer in their own style and culture and language, but inspired by God himself. And every time we open up God's word, he has something to say to us. And so let's ask that he would speak to us right now. Would you guys pray with me? Lord, we love you, and we're grateful for your grace. We're grateful for the community of the church, even just gathering here on a Sunday evening to learn from you and to love each other and to praise you together. And God, I pray right now that as we open up your word, that you would open up our hearts. Would you teach us what it looks like to put faith into action? And wherever we're coming from tonight, whether we've been walking with you for some time and maybe even the passage we read is familiar, or if we wouldn't even consider ourselves a Christian yet, and we're just here checking things out, we're curious about what life with Jesus is like, I pray that for every every single one of us, you would have a fresh word. I thank you, God, that you love every person in this room. You know us inside and out. You know us better than we know ourselves, and you love us, and you call us to be with you. And so I pray that just with a full view of who Jesus is, that every sin is paid for, past, present, and future, that knowing the love of God in Christ, we would bring our full selves to you right now. I pray that we would let you speak to us. Would we let you speak into our situation? Would you let us speak into maybe areas of our lives that we've been holding back from you? Would you let us speak into the big questions that are hanging over our heads? Or let us speak into just the ho-hum business as usual, whatever we're bringing into tonight, Lord. I pray that you would let us, that we would have ears to hear from you. And God, I pray as we always do, that you'd give us not just information in our heads, but transformation in our hearts. We thank you that you loved us long before any of us loved you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So maybe you're sitting here and you're wondering, what in the heck does The Rock beating a bunch of dudes up in an early 2000s nightclub have anything to do with faith? And you're like, no, don't get me wrong, I'm into it. Like, more of this at church, please. But what in the heck does this have to do with faith? Well, more than you'd think, and let me tell you why. See, in this clip, which is the opening scene of a movie called The Rundown, which is like an early 2000s action film with The Rock. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is, in this film, you have option A and you got option B. And you got The Rock, whose role in the movie is like we saw here. He's a retrieval specialist. So basically, he beats people up for pay. And so he gives him option A or option B. Option A, you give me the ring. Option B, The Rock makes you give him the ring. Now, as we learn, option B is a bad choice. But our guy chose option B, and he chose option B with this option A and option B choice based on trusting something. Now, in this particular instance, he chose option B, not option A. He chose make me give you the ring, whatever it is. He chose The Rock's I make you give me the ring over give me the ring because he trusted his five dudes or however many dudes it was over the one Rock, The Rock. He had more trust in his guys than he had trust in The Rock. He made the choice based on trust. And what I think this shows us, other than just, I don't know, awesome like WWE moves or whatever, what it shows us is a picture into what trust actually is played out in real life, what faith actually is played out in real life. Because we've been defining trust as what we think we see in the scriptures as it defines trust over the course of this series, or defining faith over the course of this series, as trust, as functional, personal trust in God himself. That's the kind of trust, kind of faith that we're called to. That's the life of Jesus that we're all invited to. It's a life trusting in God himself. But what are Option A, Option B clip shows us is that trust always leads to some sort of action. In every decision in your life, whether large or small, and life is full of decisions, we're basically constantly making decisions. In every decision of life, we make those decisions based on trusting in something, based on having faith in something, faith in a particular outcome, faith in a particular set of values. Every choice we make, large or small, whether the big picture decisions of what should I do with my life, or should I marry this person, or should I not marry this person, or the small decisions of life, like what time am I going to wake up in the morning? Should I have Pop-Tarts or cereal for breakfast? Or maybe if you're healthier, you throw in like egg whites and whole wheat toast, or something, you know, better for you than Pop-Tarts and cereal. But the point is, in every decision of life, we make that decision based on trusting something. And so, since that is the case, every single one of us is already putting faith into action. In every choice you made today, in every choice you've ever made in your life, you have put faith in something into action. And there's the big picture faith of kind of like at our core what we believe that maybe governs big decisions, but there's also ways that that faith, whether it's faith in God or something else, seeps out into smaller decisions in our life. We are every single day putting faith in something into action. And so the question coming into our passage in Genesis 12 here, this snapshot into the very beginnings of our kind of view into Abraham's life in Scripture, the question kind of coming into this passage is, what does faith in God specifically look like in action? If faith always leads to action, if faith is expressed in action in every decision we make, faith in something, what does faith in God specifically look like in action? How do we put trust in God into action, and what does it look like? We could think of this another way. Jesus said, very famously, that you shall know a tree by its fruits. Now, in the context, he was talking about false teachers and people that claimed to speak on God's behalf, but didn't represent the truth or values of God at all. And he said, he was kind of giving us a framework for knowing how to know the truth from a lie. He said, you shall know a tree by its fruits. In other words, you can look at outward actions, look at choices, and you can see functionally what a person actually trusts, who a person actually has faith in. Because faith at its core is not just theoretical and intellectual. Real faith, the faith that we exercise every day, is personal and it's functional and it leads to action. And so we can look at our lives, look at the decisions we make, and we can get a picture of, in the day-to-day trenches, what are we actually trusting? And with that in our minds, and with this question of what does faith in God specifically look like, we come to Genesis chapter 12. See, Genesis 12 is, like I said earlier, it's the first time that we meet this key character of Scripture, Abraham, in the storyline of the Bible. And at this point, this is the first time that we see God coming to this character, Abraham, and he gives him this first call that will lead to ever more deepening calls in his life over the course of his life. But in this first call that God gives to Abraham, we see a framework for what faith in God specifically looks like in action, what trust in God specifically looks like in the day-to-day decisions of our lives. And so here's how we'll spend the rest of our time. We're going to unpack this passage, unpack this first call that God gives to Abraham and the response that Abraham has as a result. And we're going to see that faith in God specifically leads to action because faith in God specifically leads us to leave the old way, to live for a new mission, and to go all in. So we'll spend our time looking at how faith in God specifically leads us to leave an old way, to live with a new mission, and to go all in. So we'll start, as the passage does, by looking at how faith in God specifically leads us to leave an old way. So verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12 opens up like this. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," he'll later become Abraham, so if that's confusing for you, Abram and Abraham are the same dude. God changes his name later. That's a whole other story, but right now he's Abram. So the Lord says to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." See, there's a specific call that God's giving Abraham here. The first thing that God says to Abram is to leave somewhere, to go from and from a people, to leave one set of people and one place, to go to an unknown place that God will lead him to in the future. But if we read this in the context of how the story has been unfolding up to this point, when we get to Genesis chapter 12, it gives us a really interesting insight into what the call that God is giving Abraham is in the first place. And it's a pattern for what the call for anyone who would follow and trust God is in the first place. Because here's what's happened in the course of the book of Genesis up to this point. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, Genesis is the first book in the Bible. It's the book of beginnings. That's what the book of Genesis means. And chapters 1 to chapter 11, right before we get to chapter 12 here, 11, then 12, math. So chapters 1 to 11 are the story of God and the whole world. And so it's this really, really, really zoomed out, like looking from like the International Space Station down, like big picture view of God and everyone and everything. And it's tackling big questions like, how did we get here? Why are we here? What is human life all about? What? Why did God make us? And what's gone wrong? Because clearly the world is not as it should be. We have that deep sense in our hearts, and we know that that's the case based on things that we see play out in life. And so why is that the case? And what is God going to do about it? And it's these big, big questions of God and the whole world. And the way the story plays out is you've got God, you've got the creation account. God creates the world and he creates humans with dignity and an identity and value and a relationship with him and a calling and relationships with one another. And it's all very, very good. But it quickly spirals out of control because the first people, instead of trusting God like we were created to, they mistrust God and instead try to live out the calling that God has given them on their own terms. And so this is what the Bible calls sin, and we all repeat the same process and the same pattern in our own lives, and that's where we are, left to our own devices, is made by God, loved by God, given a calling from God, each with dignity and value, but we try to make all of that work on our own terms rather than on God's terms when we're left to our own devices, and we do that in all kinds of individual and creative ways. And so as the story plays out, we've got creation breaking from what it was originally meant to be. And then the rest of the story from chapters 3 to chapter 11 is this series of stories that show this spiral of what happens when people mistrust God and how God's creation has become corrupted by people mistrusting God and how human life is not what it was meant to be because of mistrust in God. And it all comes to a head in Genesis chapter 11, right before we meet this character Abraham, or Abram, at a place called Babylon. And there's this famous story, if you grew up going to Sunday school, that we call the Tower of Babel. But Babel is the Hebrew word for Babylon. And so at this place, Babylon, there's kind of this like culmination where all the people of the world get together to try to create a whole civilization that's mistrusting God. And God does something about it. He in his good grace, prevents that from happening and disperses people. But we see kind of at the head, there's just this brokenness of the world comes to a climax at this place called Babylon, where not only are individual people doing things that God has not made them to do and mistrusting God, but now people are organizing and creating systems and structures where they're doing that together. And it's this symbol of broken humanity and the brokenness of the world. Now, you might be thinking, fun little lesson, Professor, but what the heck does that have to do with my life? And here's where it gets real. See, with that backdrop, we've got Babylon now as the symbol of the brokenness of the world. And then when we meet Abram, the first thing that we learn about him is that he's from Babylon. He's from a city called Ur in a region called Chaldea, which is another term for Babylon. And so Babylon now is the symbol of human brokenness, and now we zero in on one character from Babylon. And God comes to him, and he says, leave. Go, and I'm going to show you a new way. There's this broken way of trying to make life work, a way of trying to make life work on our own terms, and a broken way that we make life work all together when we try and form societies and cultures, and we do life all together, and we do broken ways of doing community and broader in society. And God says, I'm starting a new rescue mission that is going to start with you, Abraham, leaving Babylon to live life on the road, following me in a new way of life that I'm going to show you along the way. See, this life of trust in God foundationally is a life of action, because it's a life being called out of a broken way of trying to make life work into the way that God already intended, but it has to start with leaving Babylon. It has to start with leaving the broken way, leaving the old way, to take a step of faith and trust out to God, because every decision is based on trust in something. And so when we trust God, what we are saying is, God, I trust you more than I trust the old way. I trust you more than I trust the normal way. I'm taking a step of faith to leave the old way. The life of faith with God, both for the people of God altogether and for each one of us as individuals, is a life stepping out of faith to leave the old way, to leave Babylon behind. At its core, life following Jesus, life trusting in God specifically, is a countercultural way of life. There's a book written by this like old hippie guy, by the name of Ken Goffman. And it's a book called Counterculture Through the Ages. And so it's like the history of counterculture movements. And so it's all about like the hippie movement and punk rock and all that. And it's all these key countercultural figures. Do you know who the first countercultural figure is that he identifies in his history of counterculture through the ages? It's our boy Abraham. That the life following Jesus is fundamentally a countercultural way of life. And this is a word that we need to hear, because so often when we think of Christianity, we think of life following Jesus, we think of life following Jesus as the traditional way of life, right? We think of traditional values, at least in our culture. That's not really the case in other cultures, but at least in our culture, at least in 2020, we think of life following Jesus as the traditional way of life. Life following Jesus is not to embrace a traditional way of life, just doing things the way they've always been done. Life following Jesus is to embrace a countercultural way of life. It's going to be countercultural to the traditional way of life, and there's going to be some overlap, of course, but it's going to be countercultural fundamentally to the traditional way of life, and it's going to be countercultural to kind of like the modern way of doing life. It's going to be countercultural to every possible other way of doing of life, because it is leaving the old way. There are so many different versions of Babylon, so many different versions of the old way, whether traditional or modern or anything in between, or different cultures all over the world. But fundamentally, following Jesus is a countercultural way of life. It's a life of leaving the old way, of not just making decisions that are in line with the status quo or what seems normal, but fundamentally making decisions that are founded in trust in God himself, and therefore to live his kind of life. And so here's where we have to just take some honest stock of our lives as we're thinking about what faith in Jesus even means and how it is expressed in action. We have to take some honest step by looking at our day-to-day choices, not just our big choices, although of course we need to look at big choices too, but just in our day-to-day choices, we have to ask ourselves, in those choices, as we have at many moments throughout the day, option A or option B, not with the rock involved, hopefully, because then you've probably gotten caught up into something real shady. But but if so, grace for that too, and praise God for that. But in our day-to-day choices, option A or option B, are we trusting in something other than God, and then therefore just making choices that conform to the world around us? Or are we trusting in God himself and therefore making choices that are in line with the countercultural way of Jesus? In our day-to-day choices, how I spend my time, how I set my priorities each day, how I navigate my singleness or my dating life or my married life, in the choices that I make about how I treat my friends or how I interact with church community or how I'm going to rest at the end of the day. In all these day-to-day choices, am I trusting in something other than God and therefore making choices that just conform to the rest of the world around me? Or am I trusting in God himself and therefore making choices that line up with the countercultural way of Jesus? And what's so important to see here is that God is inviting this, is inviting Abraham to this countercultural way of life because he's already chosen Abraham. Abraham, he's already moved towards Abraham in love. And so God's not coming to Abraham saying, hey, do this thing so that I will love you. He's coming to Abraham and saying, I've already chosen you, so do this thing. You're already my guy, Abraham, so do this thing. So we don't make these choices to this countercultural way of life because we're trying to get God to love us. And if we don't do it, that means God won't love us. We make these decisions for a countercultural way of life because God already loves us and therefore we already trust him. And so we're making those choices that may sometimes be hard because they're countercultural, but we're gonna live this new way of life. We're gonna leave the old way. That faith in God specifically is expressed in action by leaving an old way. What old way do you need to leave behind? What old way do you need to step out on? What Babylon do you need to leave to go to a country that God is going to show you along the way? It's to leave an old way. But not only that, it's not just leaving an old way for a countercultural way of life, but there's a purpose behind this countercultural way of life, behind leaving the old way, because we're also, what we also see in Abraham is that life, trusting in God specifically, is expressed in action through living with a new mission. It's leaving an old way, but secondly, it's living with a new mission. Here's what verses 2 and 3 say. Abraham, summing up verse 1, and you leave your family and leave your country, leave Babylon for this new way that I will show you, to a new place that I will show you. And then in verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and dishonor him who dishonors you, I will curse. And then here's the kicker. And in you, Abraham, through what I'm going to do through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So stepping back into the context we were talking about before, where what we've learned so far in the story is that something has gone very, very wrong with each of us. And so the question hanging over our heads, because we've seen that God loves us, because we've seen that God's original creation was good, because we've seen that the reason that he created us was to know him and to experience his love, to be in relationship with him, to receive an identity from him, and to live out a calling to steward his creation and to be creative and use the gifts that he's given us for goodness in the world and to love each other, because we know he's good, the question hanging over our heads is, it's gone wrong, so what is God going to do to make it right is God going to do anything to make it right? He doesn't owe us anything. We've screwed it all up. So what is going to happen next? And then as the story zeroes in on this one family, what we learn is that God is going to rescue the world through what he's going to do through Abraham. And so he's giving this call to Abraham, leave the old way behind, leave Babylon, leave the broken way, leave the way of mistrust, that trying to make your life work on your own terms. But it's not just for you. It's not just so that you can have life work a little bit better for you. It's Abram, leave the old way, and through you, I am going to begin a rescue mission that is going to affect every family on the earth. Now, this phrase that we translate in our English Bibles, or at least the version I'm reading here, every family, it's a word that means every people group. And so God has this global scope in mind with Abraham. Abraham, every culture on earth, every tribe and tongue and nation is going to be blessed through what I'm going to do through you. Your steps of faith that I'm going to call you to in your life are a part of a bigger picture. They're a part of a rescue mission of me bringing redemption to a broken world. And it's going to affect all people, every culture on earth. See, life following Jesus, life in action, is not just leaving an old way because we trust Jesus. It's seeing what that God that we trust, it's seeing what that God values. And what that God values, at least played out in our broken world, is redemption. What that God values is making a way for what has gone wrong to be set right if we would have it. So life following Jesus is life with a new mission. Life trusting in God specifically is expressed in action because it's a new mission. As we trust this God that we are trusting, we now see what he values. And if we trust the God who values those things, we live in those values also. And so the mission that we're called to, it's not just a set of actions that we're to do because it's like, okay, I guess this is what I do now that I'm following Jesus. And it's not, okay, I love people just because I guess this is the thing that I'm supposed to do, or I'm supposed to serve the poor and the marginalized and the disenfranchised, because I guess that's the sort of thing that Jesus is into. Like, Jesus is into sheep. I joke about that all the time, but sheep come up all over the Bible. And so if you didn't know what the Bible's about, you'd be like, why the sheep? But it's not just this thing that has no purpose or meaning behind it. It's rooted in the very character of God. I love the way that one writer puts it. He puts it like this. He says that mission, this redemptive mission of God to bring life where there's been death and light where there's been darkness. So mission is not primarily an activity of the church. It is an attribute of God. God is a missionary God. Mission is thereby seen as a movement from God into the world. The church is viewed as an instrument for that mission. There is a church because there is a mission, not vice versa. And so we have this new mission, not because it's just some kind of random thing to do that God seems to be into. No, we have a new mission because it's at the very character and heart of God. What God wants to do in the world is bring life, bring forgiveness, bring newness, bring wholeness where there's been brokenness, bring justice where there's been injustice, bring grace where there's been wrongdoing. He wants to bring the life and love of heaven to earth. And so that is the calling of everyone who would trust in him. That is the new life that he calls us to, because we're constantly making decisions, and those decisions are based on trust in something. And so when we trust in him specifically, we're trusting in his mindset, his way of viewing the world, his heart, the things that he loves. And so we live with his mission in the world, and his mission is redemption. And God's call to Abram is different in its specifics from whatever God is going to call me and you to. You and I don't live in literal Babylon. We live in Orange County. And we're not going to be probably called to live life on the road, just kind of traveling around like raising goats until God shows us a place to settle down. Although, more power to you if God calls you to the van life. I don't know. But the specifics are going to be different in whatever God calls us to, but the intention and the purpose is going to be the same. Wherever God has sent you, when you trust Jesus, he has sent you as one to bring redemption to that place. So in your work, if you're a working person, you are God's sent one to bring the life of Jesus with you to your workplace. If you're a student, to your classmates, to your school, you are God's sent one to bring the life of Jesus to your classmates and to your school. To your family, you are God's sent one to your family to bring the life of Jesus to your family. To your neighborhood, you are God's sent one to your neighbors to bring the life of Jesus to your neighborhood. Anywhere God would call you, for however long he calls you there, you are God's sent one. And here's what that means real practically, because this is like real high-level like vision kind of stuff, but real nitty-gritty practically. This means loving people like Jesus loves people. This means doing your job or doing your schoolwork or doing neighboring or familying, whatever the proper word for that is, doing all those things in a way that glorifies God to the best of your ability, because that brings glory to God. It means telling people about Jesus in a way that makes sense and is sensitive and appropriate, but telling people about Jesus in whatever sphere God has called you to. It means working for justice and things to be made right and set right and to be the way that God cares about in those arenas of life. It means bringing whole picture, the life of Jesus, proclaiming who he is, pointing people to him, and living his kind of life in whatever context God has called you to. When we trust Jesus, we're living a new mission. And I know for a lot of us, like for some of us, we're like, yes, sold, all in, keep going, tell me more. And some of us are like, holy smokes, that seems terrifying. Like, I'm just trying to get through Monday. I'm just trying to like do the things on my to-do list, like adding some big picture vision of like, God's got this big like eternal purpose for me when I wake up tomorrow morning and I've got to go to work or I've got to go to school or whatever the case is. Like, that just seems so overwhelming. And I don't even know the first thing about the Bible or about who Jesus is. I'm trying to just like get through the day. Like, this is great, but like not right now. And what I would just say, if that's you, it starts with the smallest of steps. So don't begin thinking of this as like, okay, like in order to do anything with this, I need to like have the whole Bible memorized, which would be great. Not poo-pooing that, don't get me wrong. But I gotta have the whole Bible memorized, and I gotta be an extrovert, and I've gotta like be like, have this incredible 5-year plan for my life, and I've gotta do all these things. Whatever this is, small step it's going to mean tomorrow, take that small step. First step for Abraham, just do the first thing that God called him to do. God has not given him all the details of the plan yet. It's literally just leave. That's the plan so far. Leave. Abraham's like, great. Awesome. Like, you know, for the type A people in here, whatever, you know, on the spectrum of liking plans you are, like, that's not enough, right? You're just like, I'm gonna need a little more, right? But God's like, nope, step one, leave. So whatever step one is for you, take step one. Maybe it's, okay, be a little bit more intentional with your peers, with the people you work with or with your school. Build friendships, grab lunch with people. Start talking about deeper things in life. Maybe you're kind of at that point where you're kind of putting yourself out there a little bit more. And so maybe next step, start talking about faith. Ask people what's going on in their lives. Tell people that you've been, that your relationship with God has really given you an anchor and a hope and all the crazy stuff going on right now. And begin a conversation just talking about something a little bit deeper. Maybe it's you've kind of been at your workplace for a little while, and so now you have a little bit more influence, and you see that there's something something about the culture of your workplace that's not quite right. It's a little bit unjust. There's some cutting of some corners, or there's some mistreatment of a group of people, and so maybe you use the influence that you've accrued over the last couple years to say something about it. But whatever the next step is for you, take the step. And it could be a small step. It could be a baby step. Take the step. We're living with a new mission. And finally, we'll close with that we're to go all in. We're to be those who leave the old way behind, who live with a new mission, and who go all in. See, our passage ends like this in verse 4. It says, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Now, it seems like there's not much here. You're just like, okay, cool, Abraham went, yada, 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 get on to the next part. There's this really important little detail that's going to become more important later as the story goes on, that Abram, and he went, he goes, awesome. He does what God calls him to do, and it's a huge risk. But then there's this little throwaway, and Lot went with him. And Lot, we've learned a little bit earlier before what we read tonight, Lot is his relative. Lot's a part of his family. And while that doesn't seem like a big deal, we have to remember what God told Abraham to do. God came to Abraham and he said, "Leave your family and your country." Now, we don't even have to get into the specifics about why that was the specific ask of God, but we just know God gave something specific for Abraham to do. And it meant leaving his family. And Abraham left, awesome. But there's this tiny little piece of compromise, or seemingly tiny little piece of compromise, that he doesn't fully leave his family behind. He brings some of his family with him. And so he obeys God mostly, but he holds on just a little bit for himself. He hedges his bet just a little bit. He doesn't do it all the way that God asked him to do it. So, you know, if you start to like invest money and you see like a financial advisor, one of the core pieces of advice that most financial advisors are going to give you is to diversify your investments, right? Diversify your portfolio. To have your money not all in one place, but in a couple different places, right? So you're not taking all the money you have to invest and you're like, all of it on Google. You know, like you're spreading it out a little bit into a couple different types of investments and a couple different investment strategies. And the reason, there's a few reasons that you do this that make sense in the context of investing. You diversify your portfolio, first of all, because of uncertainty, right? There's no guarantee that any given investment is going to do well. In fact, it's possible that any given investment could totally tank. And so if you have all your money in something that's uncertain, there's a possibility that you could lose all of it. And that completely defeats the purpose of investing. And so you want to spread it out so that you've got more certainty of getting a return, making some money on your investments. And so if one goes bust, you've got some other things, you've got some other investments that are making a little bit of money. And so it balances out one bad investment. So you're spreading out your money because of uncertainty. And that makes sense in the case of investing your money because it really is uncertain. But investing trust in God is not uncertain. We talked about this last week, that God comes to us as the creator of the universe, the only one who's really capable on delivering on his word. And so it makes no sense to hedge with God. It makes no sense to diversify our trust with God and to hold on a little bit away from God, because he's the only one that's actually delivering on what he says he's going to do. He's the only one who can actually see into all possibilities and know how life works best. There's no uncertainty with God. There's a ton we don't know. But that's not the same as uncertainty in God himself. There's a ton in the future we can't control, but that's not the same as saying that we can't be certain with trusting God himself because of who God is. And so this tendency that we might have to obey, but then hold on just a little bit back from God. God, I'll obey you in the big picture, but then there's these things that not quite yet. Not yet, God. No, I'm not giving you that. Or, okay, God, I could do the really bad thing, but what if I just did the like kind of bad thing? That's better, right? that's better. Okay, so it's like, okay, I feel good that I didn't do like the terrible thing, but you know, we are holding on a little bit away from God. It makes sense in investing your money. It doesn't make any sense in trusting God, because there's no uncertainty with God, not uncertainty over who God is. And secondly, the reason you diversify with money is because an investment is a means to an end, right? The point of investing isn't to have an investment. The point of investment is to make money. So the investment is just a means to an end. So there's no part, there's no like incentive just to do one. Like you're not committed, you're not like committing yourself. You're not marrying an investment. It's you're trying to get a means to an end. And so whatever possible way that you can get that end, that making money, you're gonna do it. But God isn't a means to an end. God is the end himself. He is the one that we were meant for. He's the one that we're created for. He's the one himself that we're invited into relationship to. And so it doesn't make any sense at all. If he's the one, if he's the end, there's no point in diversifying because we got the thing we're looking for. He's right in front of our faces. It's like, imagine like a man proposing to a woman, and he's proposing and he's like, I want to marry you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And I'm going to keep dating three other girls just in case there's something that I want from you that I can't get from you. And I'm going to get somewhere else. You'd be like, next, that'd be red flag central, like the definition of red flag, right? There's no point in diversifying when you have the end, the one that's supposed to be the goal right in front of you. And so we have these tendencies to hold back a little bit from God, to trust him, but to like just there's something that we're not quite fully giving over to him. Or there's a way that we're obeying him in the big picture, but we're not doing it all the way that he asked us to do. But it doesn't make any sense because we can be certain over who God is and his goodness to us because of who he is and because he himself is the one that we need. And so as we close here and we think about what God would call us to trust him specifically and to put into action, we have to ask ourselves, is there anything that we're holding back from him? Even if for those of us that have trusted in him big picture and we're followers of Jesus and we're saved, our eternal destiny is secure, it's not about that, but we've trusted him in the big picture, but there's something that we have not been willing to hand over to him. We've not been willing to trust him with. We've been holding back from him. Or maybe there's an area of our life where we're kind of walking in obedience, but we're not doing it all the way that God calls us to, and we know it. We have to ask ourselves, is there anything that we're holding back from God? Because trust in God leads to actions towards a new kind of life, a life leaving the old way. And it's a new kind of life that's a new mission, and it's a new kind of life that if we really have a picture of who God is, it's all in. But if we're being honest, going all in, living a counterculture kind of life, giving ourselves for a mission that can at times be costly, at least in our energy, it's a lot. And it can be scary. And so how do we even have the view of who God is that would lead us to take that step in the first place? Lead us to take that step tonight if there's something that we need to release control over of to God. Well, like Abram, we all have not gone all in with God. There's all of us, like Abram, have held back from God in one form or another, with one area of our life in another. But God has never held back from us. And thousands of years after Abram, God would show us in flesh and blood how far he would go to hold nothing back from us. Because thousands of years after Abram, God would become one of us. God the Son would become one of us as Jesus of Nazareth. And he would live the kind of life that you and I have not lived, a life full of perfect trust in God the Father, a life in perfectly in line with the way that God designed life to work. But rather than reaping the benefits of all that obedience and all that trust for himself, he took on our sin, our mistrust, our disobedience, and he carried it in himself on the cross. He died in our place, paying the penalty for our sin. He held nothing back from us. God the Father did not withhold the Son. The Son did not withhold himself, and both of them freely give of his Spirit that we would live life in his presence if we would trust him. Each of us in our own way, left to our own devices, we hold back from God. But God in Jesus has shown us that he holds nothing back from us. He's willing to be committed to us, to love us, to be in relationship with us, even when it costs him dearly. And when we see that, when we see that the God that we are called to trust is a God who has gone all in for us, that is the thing that actually can motivate all in trust for him. And so right now, we have some time just to do business with God, to take honest stock of our lives, the decisions of everyday life, every area of our life, and say, what does full trust in God specifically look like in action? What does it actually look like played out in my life? In what ways do I need to leave an old way or to live with a new mission or to go all in? But as we do, we have to do so in full view of who God is for us in Jesus. We have to do so in full view of the God that we are called to trust is the God who withholds nothing from us, not even his own son. And so we're gonna have some time right now just to continue talking to God personally, and we're gonna leave just a moment of quiet where we can each do business with God. And if that feels uncomfortable for you, just what I would invite you to do is just ask God, is there anything you want me to do? What do you want me to do, God? And just take honest stock. And in a moment here, we're gonna sing, because when we sing, we have more time to let what we're talking about go from our heads to our hearts. And when we hear each other sing, we're reminded of the work of God, not only in our own lives, but in everyone's life. And so I'm gonna pray right now, and I'm gonna ask that God would continue to move in and through us by his Spirit. And we're gonna let God continue to do his thing. So you guys pray with me. Lord, we love you. And we're so grateful for your grace. We're grateful that in Jesus, you have held nothing back from us. I pray, God, that you would help us to live lives full of faith in action, that we would leave an old way behind, that we would live with a new mission, and that we would go all in with you. Lord, if there's anyone that knows that there's something that you want to do business with tonight, knows that there's something that needs to be left or something that needs to be entrusted to you, if there's a step of faith to be taken at work or school or family or whatever, but it's just scary. Lord, I pray that you would meet them right where they're at. I pray even right now that you would just fill their hearts with just this deep sense that you see them and that you're with them and that you are going to be with them through every step of faith along the way. And I pray that that would make all the difference. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.